The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio on a Monday morning. Bogus in for Gio. Brian dancing his way back into his studio, eating something.
That's the jail.
Who knows what? But it's getting him ready to talk to Howard Griffith of the
Big Ten Network.
We've got Griff. You're back just in time.
I can't stand Griff, man. Got two Super Bowl rings. I got nothing.
Yeah, it's okay.
It ain't okay. I got what?
Radio show.
Oh, I have a great radio show. You're exactly right.
You do a great job on television, man.
Oh,
you're
man.
You're far ahead of the game.
Oh, man. Well, you do too, man. And quit lying on a Monday morning.
This is the second straight guest that just comes on kissing your butt right out of the gate.
That's how we roll, dog.
Must be nice to have friends. Howard, thanks as always for checking in. We appreciate it. Let's start with Ohio State and Penn State. I'll ask you the same question I asked Brian. It's 14-0 after 4 minutes. Did you think the game was over, or did you see a Buckeye rally coming?
No, I didn't think the game was over because I knew that Ohio State had an opportunity to go out and make plays. They just, you know, weren't in position just yet. And you look at this Penn State team all year, they've been really explosive with big plays, big chunk plays that they've been able to make. But I did think that there were going to be some issues going into that game with special teams. Because that's the one area where Ohio State has really continued. I know a lot of people focus on whether Barrett can throw it downfield 20-plus yards. Connections are a concern. But to me, watching them all year, it was about special teams because they haven't, and they made some plays in this game special teams-wise, but special teams has gotten them into a lot of issues this year.
Well, Griff, we had James Franklin on the show prior to the season, and I asked him if there were any glaring concerns, and he said no. And the reason I asked him that is because they lost some quality guys on that defensive line. There are glaring concerns on the defensive line and the offensive line, especially when you're playing in a game the magnitude of the one they entered in on Saturday afternoon, because they couldn't block ice in Alaska. And they couldn't get to JT Barrett. They lost their best defensive lineman early in the first series, and they couldn't do anything after that.
Yeah, but you know what's amazing, though, if you watch this team during the year, they have been doing a great job of playing in an opponent's backfield.
Yep.
And I think that's part of some of the offensive lines that they have been going against. But this Penn State team is still a really good team. They're just not as loaded when you put them up 1-85 to an Ohio State team. And one of the things that was really glaring is the offensive line. They still, the issue that I had with them all year is they could not run the ball when they want to run the ball. And again, that's hidden by a lot of Barkley's and the rest of the backfield, their big tough plays. And when you hide those, when Barkley breaks off a 75-yarder or 80-yarder, that's all people really remember. But in this game versus Ohio State, the number of negative runs he had was something that they hadn't had to experience all year long.
Right.
Howard, JT Barrett was just remarkable on Saturday. Where does that stack up with, especially the fourth quarter, QB performances you've ever seen?
Yeah, for him, it's right up there. I mean, you haven't seen JT Barrett throw the ball the way he did. I think he was 13-for-13 in the fourth quarter, 170 yards. You know, he made some passes that normally you don't see him make. Talk about being able to thread the needle. And I think that's something that you know, people have really been concerned about when they have to throw it. Is he going to be able to? But I think hidden in that as well is the great job that offensive line really did protecting him. Because if you go back and look earlier in the season, when he wanted to drop back and stand tall in the pocket, he struggled sometimes. He'd come out, he'd sidearm to the ball, and that happened. That got him in trouble versus Oklahoma earlier in the season. But this is one of the first times you really saw that offensive line come together and really be able to control the game and allow them to make the plays downfield. And also, you saw a lot of those receivers. Johnny Dixon, he's had some touchdowns early in the season, but he's been a guy that came in highly touted but has been banged up due to injury, a lot of injuries. But you saw the ball being spread around. Marcus Ball, the tight end, really obviously came up with a big touchdown catch. They really spread, moved the ball around to a lot of their players that made some plays for them in that game, particularly down the stretch.
JT Barrett is squarely in the Heisman conversation now, 25 touchdowns after the four he had Saturday afternoon and only one interception on the season. He's on that. Yeah. He's definitely on that list now and may be getting an invite to New York City. Let's talk about – I think I'm with you, though, as far as Penn State. I think they bounced back, and they're still a damn good football team, but they lost their best offensive lineman, that left tackle who went out the other day. But Michigan State, Penn State and Ohio State both still have to play them. Ohio State has Iowa next, but Michigan State losing there to Northwestern in overtime. They have struggled offensively. Defensively, they played pretty well, but offensively, they haven't been able to do anything. Have you been able to detect what's going on that side of the ball?
You know, I think one of the things, they just are not as talented. And you got to remember, they had some issues in the offseason, some big issues where they had to dismiss some players. And yeah, they had to dismiss some guys that really would have helped them this year as a good football team, but the reality is some of those guys are probably a major distraction as well. So I just don't think they're as deep and as talented. Listen, I think Milwaukee can make a lot of plays, but I think when he is your leading rusher, which he was again versus Northwestern, that's a tough position to be in to try to run the ball because they want to be able to run it with L.J. Scott and the rest of that backfield to be able to control the game. But when they can't run it that way, it creates problems when they have to get those runs from the quarterback. Now, they've had some young receivers. Cody White stepped up and played well. But I just don't think they're where they used to be, particularly the talent on the defensive side as well. They've got Joe Bocci, who's leading them in tackles and making great plays all over the field. But they don't have those talented defensive ends that they used to have. So they've got to recruit to that position to get much better. But I think the defensive tackles give them a chance, but they still need to be more dynamic offensively and particularly at the defensive end. But I'll say this, they're still going to have a lot to say with what goes on with Penn State and obviously Ohio State. Those are not going to be easy games for either one of those teams.
And I believe they only have one upperclassman on their offensive line, and so that's an issue as well.
Right. You got a young offensive line, you're going to have some problems.
This is Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network with us here on Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio. Howard, as we prep for the first college football playoff rankings tomorrow night, everybody's got Alabama and Georgia in basically. Then we're figuring out the other two spots. And there's a lot of teams mentioned, but not really Wisconsin. Are they not getting the respect they deserve, or people know that maybe they just don't deserve to be in the conversation just yet?
Yeah, I think they're right there. I think most people are giving them that respect, but I think at the end of the day, you have to look at, you know, who they played. And last year, they had an unbelievable schedule of teams that they played and the resume and that sort of thing. And I know that becomes important, particularly as they continue to move forward. But this year, they've gone out and just been Wisconsin, beat the guys that they're supposed to on their schedule. But they've got Indiana, Iowa. They've got a game against Michigan, which we thought maybe at the beginning of the year was going to be against a ranked opponent in Minnesota. So you just got to – there's not that great, great win on their resume right now. And, unfortunately, that's what's going to happen to them this year, similar to the discussion that there was with Washington last year leading up to the playoff about them not having a great non-conference schedule. They didn't end up having – Wisconsin didn't end up having a great non-conference. BYU – Florida Atlantic, Utah State, it just did not really help them where they needed to be helped. We're looking at their regular schedule in the West in the Big Ten.
Griff, Michigan, you believe they found their quarterback now, and it's Brandon Peters. He was missed the Indiana football a couple years ago, inserted into the fold the other day, and it seemed like that offense had some life.
You know what, BJ? It did look like that, but then on the other side, one of the things they were able to do was run the ball. Right, so the quarterback really didn't have to do anything. And as you know, it's a whole lot easier to watch guys come in as a backup as opposed to that guy coming in the following week as the starter that has been prepared for all week. So I'm still going to hold out a little bit and see what happens when they're forced to have to throw the football, when they're forced to get somebody on the move, because their issue still is in the offensive line. And we've talked a lot about offensive line play. You think about the Big Ten, and that's never been an issue for them. But we talked about two teams, Penn State, with an offensive line that isn't as great as it needs to be, and particularly with Michigan, the way they want to run the ball and control the game with two tight ends, a fullback, and play big boy football, the offensive line has not been anywhere near where they need to be. But again, last week they were able to run the ball very successfully, and the quarterback really didn't have to win the game with his arm. So I'll wait to this week to see if he can have that same type of performance. What happens when he's in a long yard situation? Can he make some of those big time throws?
Griff, if I can call you that, want to take a shot?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Want to take a shot at who's the next Florida head coach?
Wow, jeez. What about the names in a hat, right? It's one of those jobs it's a prominent job. I don't think it's one of the great jobs, one of the greatest jobs, but it might be that next tier down. There's going to be a lot of people that want that job. I think an offensive guy, a great recruiter. You would think if this was maybe a year earlier, a guy to me that they have to make a call to is Willie Taggart. I think that's a name that's prominent there, but you know, obviously he's out in Oregon now. But you have to engage him and see, talk to his representatives and see if he's a guy that might be interested, because you know what he can do offensively when he has the players, and you know he's a great recruiter. I think that's what they're looking for, those great recruiters and a great offensive mind. It could be a young guy, but I think it's going to be an established person that runs a great offense and is a known recruiter. They know what they're going to get from a quarterback standpoint.
My man, always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, guys, you enjoy the week.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.